Hello! This week we catch up on our crazy kids' sports schedules wrapping up and going into the vacation season. We are from Beck and Laura Wasner on how to fully enjoy your vacation while choosing to include exercise or not to. And then in our powerhouse segment, we chat with Deanna Desi, who faces the challenges of being legally blind while still being able to enjoy the Peloton and all it has to offer.
Hi, I'm Sarah, aka Try Sarah Four Kids on the Leaderboard.
Hi, I'm Katie, aka Katie Pallavicino on the Leaderboard.
We are friends, triathletes, and working moms with six kids ages 12 and under between us.
We like to talk.
We like to listen and tell great stories.
And we love to ride our Peloton. Together, we bring you the Empower Hour podcast with Katie and Sarah, and we plan to share what's going on in our world, answer important training and racing questions, and bring on inspirational, intriguing, and insightful guests, all with the mission to motivate you to move.
While our focus will be mostly on power zone training on the Peloton, we will also address issues that affect a broad spectrum of healthy living. Things like squeezing everything in when you've got small kids at home, to returning to fitness after pregnancy or injury, and so much more.
So join us each week as we catch up, discuss our mutual love of training and all things Peloton, and tap into the minds of experts and fascinating guests while bringing you the advice and inspiration you need.
Hey, Katie, I feel like it's been forever since we talked. How are you?
Oh, good. I know. It's hard. Like we were so good with once a week, and now it's like every 2 weeks, which hopefully, you know, once fall comes, things quiet down a little bit more after all of our kids' summer activities wind down a little bit. It'll get a little bit easier. It's hard to get into a routine.
It's very hard to get into a routine, and I don't even know where the days go. It's like all of a sudden it's Monday and then it's Friday. Like it just zips by, and it happens every summer. You know, both of our families are involved with swim team. Kind of takes over your life for like 6 weeks and then it's over and then you get your life back. So I guess we're both winding down the season. And I was just saying to you beforehand, like we have something every minute of the day. I'm just like, okay, who needs to be where? What do I need to do? What do I need to pick up? You know? And then I'm like, oh, and I didn't do X, Y, and Z for real work. Like this feels like work, but it's not. And then it's like, now I have to do real work. So it's been crazy. I've been staying up late and like life's been crazy. So, and yeah. But on the good news, like we started the Power Zone Pack Challenge officially yesterday.
Yep. I've yet to do a ride. I'm going to do the live ride tomorrow at 6. And that'll count for, you know, ride one or ride two. So I'll kick it off tomorrow with that. It looks like you got a start already.
I did. Well, I knew that I was going to have a crazy week, so I had time. You know, I was riding anyway. So I was like, well, I'll just do Monday's ride on Sunday. And then since then, this morning I was going to get on with Steph Reese. And did you get on at 6 a.m.?
No.
Yeah. I just was like, I stayed up way too late and 6 o'clock came and I was like, I can't get up right now. But I'm going to try to get a little bit ahead of the plan because we will be at the beach for like, 10 days. Okay. So I'm going to try to get more rides in than I, you know, plan ahead a little bit. And then, which is okay. Right. I mean, you feel like you're the rules person here. Like how far?
Yeah, it's definitely okay. I mean, I think one of the reasons they made this challenge 6 weeks is because people are going to be traveling a lot. And so, you know, either don't do it or wait for the next one. But yeah, I mean, you can ride ahead if you're going to be traveling. I think that's fine. We'll talk about this in our power up segment, talk about training while you're on vacation, some things that people do or don't do, or, you know, just talk a little bit about that. And you were talking about, you guys are going to go to the beach for 10 days and possibly bring your road bike or your tri bike.
Yeah. I've had it down there before and it's, you know, it's the Outer Banks, so it's really flat. Really great riding. There's a pretty wide shoulder. And so usually this time of the year, I'm like coming back from USAT Nationals. So it's a little weird that this year and last year, obviously we didn't have it. This year they opened it up and then it sold out rather quickly because they had crowd restrictions. And so then all of a sudden Milwaukee was like, no more crowd restrictions. Everybody can sign up. But that was like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I'm not going to sign up and book a ticket to Milwaukee and upend, you know, our vacation for this national race, which I do love. That was my first ever USAT Nationals, and it was had good memories there, but there's always next year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. It doesn't even feel like, I mean, it's going to be August soon. It's crazy, right? It just doesn't even feel like, and then school's going to start. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This time of year, I've had several conversations with people who are like our age and like, what are you training for? And they're like, nothing. Like, I'm like, same here. Like, it was just life. Really to get back into the group. I was like, I'm training for life. I love it. I go out and I run, or I get on my bike or whatever. I swim. I have no.
I'm training for the end of the year parent relay. You know.
Oh, yeah. We don't have that this year.
Get in shape for that.
See if you can beat my time of 13.6. I think I did that 25 free 2 years ago. No, 3 years. 2 years ago.
Well, I really wish it was more than a 25. Like, anyone could go fast for a 25, right?
Anyone. We get these men on the team who are like, swim with sometimes, and they can't like keep up in a 200, but in a 25, they can do 12
exactly.
seconds.
Exactly. But yeah, let's do 100 and see what happens.
Yeah. We don't have, so all relay carnivals in our league were all canceled because of crowds.
COVID. We did ours. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We could have done it because we've had, normal season otherwise. And it's really a bummer. Kids love relay carnival. And we've won. Our parent relay has won several times. It did not win in 2019, but it won, like, we won 16, 17, 18. And we were pretty fast. I was like, well, this is like, you know, we can like, not that you get anything for it, but it's still fun to win.
Yeah. We don't do ours at the relay carnival. It's at the banquet, but that's fun. They did a coaches relay at the relay carnival.
The banquet we have is actually at our pool this year. And so I was wondering if we could do like fun games, but I think that technically the pool's closed, which I don't know how that's going to work out. Cause kids are going to be trying to get into the water.
No lifeguards probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have to have like one lifeguard or something, but I think it's like just using the grounds. So it's a little different this year. And my latest challenge in life is keeping Maeve out of the water because she currently has a cast up to her elbow. And so bringing her to the pool is like so nerve-wracking.
So tell us how this happened.
So how it happened was a week ago today. Of course, it's always like a day that there's a million things going on. We had a little family reunion here. We had 20 people, so aunts, uncles, cousins. I was getting ready for that. You know, I had a long list of things to do to get ready. Put Maeve down for her nap. Mark was sitting here where I am sitting right now, where we share a wall with Maeve's room. He heard a thud because we have a monitor, we have a camera in her room, but she's such a sound sleeper and she's never had any issues that, you know, I don't always have the monitor on because I know she'll sleep for 2 hours or 2.5 hours. So I was outside leaf blowing of all things. And over the leaf blower, I heard her crying and I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. So Mark had brought her down and she was really hysterical. He said, I heard a thud. She climbed out of her crib. So she'd never climbed out of her crib before. She had just started to show some interest in climbing on furniture like that morning. And I was saying like, that's dangerous. Let's not do that. So she must have just gotten up and gotten in her head that she wanted to get out. And we don't know how she did it, but she ended up breaking her wrist in two places. Pretty much right away, I knew something was wrong because she wasn't moving her wrist or her arm. And so we took her to the ER and they did the x-rays and they're like, yep. First they said, I see the fracture. And then later the doctor was like, so for the fractures, and I was like, there's two. It just made it sound to me, it made it so much worse. But at ER, at least the one we went to, they don't put a cast on, they put a splint on. And so she had the splint for 2 days and she had it on for 55 hours. In the 55 hours that she had the splint on, she didn't sleep for more than an hour
between my gosh.
Mark and I didn't sleep for more than an hour. She was up a lot at night. She was in a lot of pain. She was uncomfortable. Everything was just like moaning. You know, she's only 17, almost 18 months. So she's not communicating like, you know, this hurts. She did say owie a few times. So that was really rough and very draining. And then on Thursday, we went to the orthopedist and they put the cast on, and things have been much better since then. She is sleeping, she's napping. You know, we have to be really careful because I think she'll try to climb out of the crib again and figure out our next steps to keep her not from, you know, keep her out, not climbing. But she can't get her cast wet. It's up to her armpit. So it's so far it's been okay because we've mostly kept her at home. Like, I've had babysitters and try not to bring her to too many events because it's hot and I just feel like she's uncomfortable. But we are taking her to the beach, obviously. It's our vacation. So that's going to be interesting. So I bought a cast cover and then an extra, like a bigger rash guard. And I'm hoping that like the long sleeve.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, and then I'm thinking even like, we'll probably bring the pack and play and maybe like try to keep her contained in the beach at the beach. So she's not like, cause if she were to fall, the doctor just said like the sand is like the cast is a vacuum and the sand will just go right into the cast. And then
Yeah.
We've never had a kid with a broken bone.
That's crazy.
I know. Or a cast or stitches or anything. And then on top of that, the kids all had Nora and Nellie had swimmer's ear. Okay. So last Thursday I was at the orthopedist radiologist for like 4 hours, come home. Nora's like, I can't lift my ear. And she, you know, has these like big swim and dive meets coming up. So then I spent another 2 hours in the doctor with her. I was like, I'd rather not see a doctor or be in a doctor's office for the rest of the summer, but that won't be the case. So that was my news. And it's just like, I've been thinking like, I'm sure you feel this way too. It's like as much fun when your kids are so involved in something, it's really fun and you really get like joy out of seeing them do well. But then there's also like the harder parts where like they don't do as well as they want to, or something happens and they get DQ'd, you know, like, and then you feel like these high highs and these low lows. And then Eamon's playing baseball on the side and he's like really excited one day and then upset, you know, it's just like the motions that we go through. But I'm going through them with my kids. And I'm like, no wonder I'm so tired. Like,
swim team's screaming. It's an intense 6 weeks, you know? And we've definitely had some like not so great swims. And, you know, it's hard to look at the big picture, like not just look at the time that you got for that day, you know, and look at the big picture. And, you know, Leo and Chloe both are going to make it to divisionals. You know, our team got first in the division, so we're going to move up. And I'm going to be sad when it's over. I'm actually going to be, you know, we get to know a lot of the families on our team and everyone has a lot of fun. So,
yeah, it is a letdown when it's over because you're just like, you know what?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I time at every meet.
Yeah, me too.
It makes me feel better when I'm timing. I have to like stay professional because like otherwise, you know, I see parents like going nuts cheering for their kids. And I'm like, well, at least like I can like cheer for them quietly without like being too emotionally invested. Cause then I just need to move on and I need to go to the next race and cheer for them. But last week I I timed at least for Nora and Nellie 3 times each. And that was kind of fun because
they're in your lane.
Yeah. I could cheer for them in my lane. Cause otherwise one time, Nellie like had this crazy weird bad streamline where she's 25 free. She just stayed underwater for a really long time, but didn't go anywhere. And I said to the guy next to me, I was like, oh my gosh, what a like crazy, that's just, like she had a bad start. He's like, how did you watch her start? Aren't you watching the, you know, like, aren't you watching the strobe? And I was like, I can do both. You know, I've done this for a while. So when we talk next week or the week after that, you know, life's going to be totally.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be on vacation. I think I'm going to Ohio the second week in August. So
are you guys going to drive there?
I think it's just my sister and I are going to fly there. My mom hurt her back and she's in a lot of pain. And we were talking about either her coming or us going, and I think my sister and I are just going to go and maybe just fly there for the weekend.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear about your mom.
Yeah, no, she's okay. I keep calling her and making sure, you know, she went to the urgent care and got some muscle relaxers, but she's still, I want her to go into the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think it is?
I don't know. Something in her lumbar spine. She heard a pop. She was carrying something heavy and heard a pop. And I think she just sprained it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's so tricky too.
Yeah.
You can't stay off of it, right? It's like not like mm-hmm. an arm or a leg or, you know, so.
Yeah. It's always like when you're in pain, you're always in pain.
Yeah. We talked about in our last podcast, very tough. So,
right. I know. And I'm still like, I'm okay. I'm okay. Yeah. Week to week, you know, but I'm feeling good. So anyway, for this podcast, we have, for our power up segment, we're going to talk about vacation since it's coming up. And we'll just chat about, you know, some people say, don't work out at all on vacation. I don't think we're in that camp, but especially with the Power Zone pack and like when you're in a challenge, like how do you manage that plus trying to keep up with the workouts? So we're going to chat about that. And then for our powerhouse segment, do you want to say who we brought on?
We brought on Deanna from, I think you had found her on the Power Zone pack. And she's legally blind, and she just talks about her, you know, her finding Peloton and how she uses Peloton in her life, and you know, she's motivated by it, and how she can still do the rides and just do it as well as we all do.
Yeah, it's very inspiring. Also, you know, we chat a little bit about just like what it's like to ride a Peloton when you can't really see the screen. Like I was. Yeah, she can see something, but it's really all about listening for her.
She's done a lot like with it. She's done the climbing, all the climbing rides for hours and hours. And she's got a lot of groups that she belongs to, people she rides with, and found a community with Peloton. So it was mm-hmm. great to chat with her.
Yeah, it was. And so we're looking always for inspiring people on the leaderboard, you know, fortunately, this Power Zone Pack group on Facebook is huge. And sometimes people like Deanna will post something just because she said she felt empowered by what she had been doing on the Peloton. And we saw her post and reached out, and that's how we got in touch with her. And there's a few other people like that we might bring on. So I guess like you and I will play things by ear and figure out our schedule. And this is kind of our loose summer schedule. And then we'll go back to weekly podcasts. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Sounds good.
All right. So for our power up segment today, we are going to have a fun discussion. Katie and I brought on Laurel and Rebecca Wassner, who are my sisters. They are past guests. They are team whelpers, coaches, and professional triathletes. And so we're going to have a chat. Actually, Mark sent me this article the other day. So it made me think about different stances people have about training on vacation. So obviously, this is a big time for vacation. It's summer. I'm going on vacation soon. So the stories from The Cut from July 16th, and the headline is, "Don't even think about working out on vacation." And the gist of it is basically that, you know, vacation is vacation. And if you're going to like feel guilty about not working out or stress about getting your training in, then you're going to take away from that like quote unquote vacation. There's a quote in here from a power lifter, Chrissy King, who says vacation is to get away. And I don't want to replicate the same thing I'm doing at home. And one thing I never do anymore is work out on vacation. So I thought we could all chat. I think we're probably all on the same team as far as vacation and working out. And a lot of times when I go to the beach, I'm training because it's the time that, you know, I have big races coming up. Our friend Steph actually was joking recently about taking her Peloton on vacation. And then I had the same thought the other day because I'm going to the beach and I thought maybe I should take the Peloton. If we take two cars and I can take it, and then I can work out inside and not have to be, you know, worry about my bike. But anyway, why don't we start with either Laurel or Rebecca? Just maybe you can share your own take on vacation working out training and how you advise your clients.
Yeah, that's really funny to think about putting a Peloton in the back of a car with all your beach stuff. Can you imagine if you like, because you always see the people driving to the beach with their bikes all over the car, but like if you could see period and see a Peloton, that would be really funny. I was just saying that I do agree with that article and that vacations are vacations. But just last week I had an athlete who said, I'm going on vacation. I'm going with my husband's family to Kona. And I thought I had to sit back and say, okay, let me change my mind on this. You should do some training on this trip. And she said she wanted to bring her bike. She's an aspiring Ironman athlete. So she's signed up for a race later this year. And, you know, maybe someday she'll want to race in Kona. So why not take advantage of being there? So if you do go to a place that has an interesting, like has, you know, some good trails or like some great bike riding, I'd say in that case, yeah, get out there and talk to your coach and see what kind of training you can do while on vacation. I also had another instance where that would come up, and one of the athletes said, you need to give me some workouts because I need to escape from my family for a few minutes. And that's my time to get out there and do something for myself. But another thing I learned from going on many vacations myself trying to go on family vacations when I had a race coming up or when I was trying to train, is that to build your training up before you leave, and so that you feel good about taking some time off. Also, if you do want to do some workouts while on vacation, plan the bigger ones when you first get there, because the more days that you get into the vacation, the further away you are from your normal sleep habits and your normal nutrition. You're probably going to be eating and drinking things you don't normally eat and drink, and that can all affect your training. So your performance you could expect that your performance would probably go down a bit. So just to try to get in anything hard, if you're going to do anything hard at the beginning of a vacation, and then let yourself get into more vacation mode.
I like that. I like that idea. Is like, yeah, do it in the beginning, get whatever you need to get out of the way, and then you can kind of maybe taper it off from there.
Yes. And you're kind of like, it'll just kind of be a natural thing because you'll probably get more tired and like more into more vacation-y kind of things and want to kind of steer away from hard, you know, concentrating on hard workouts at that point.
Yeah. And Katie, you were saying that you like to like, and I think this applies to all of us, like you like to explore, and when you go places.
That's the, like with, you know, whenever I travel, go somewhere, I feel like the running especially is fun because you can kind of get a lay of the land of like where you're at and see like, you know, maybe there's something that you didn't know was there. And, you know, I'll go for a run. I come home and I'm like, hey guys, we got to go check out this blah, blah, blah I saw on my run, where if you didn't kind of do that exploring, you might not see those things. And sometimes it's nice to have just like a change of scenery and go for a run. And like, for me, I like you said that you talked to one of your clients and she was like, I need like a 30 minutes just to get away from everything. And I definitely need that. Like, I need that in the morning. It's like my cup of coffee. I'm not going to go out and crush like a 10 mile run or anything, but just maybe like 3, 4, 5 miles is a great wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing that I thought of, I experienced and I tried for myself, was that if your family's doing something, like if you have a destination, you're doing an outing or something, why not run to that instead of drive? Or like if you have a bike to it, or swim to it if you're on the beach. I've done that many times and shown up at like lunch sweaty, but you get your training in, and no one's missing out from you not being in the car on the drive to the wherever it is you're going.
I did that once. We went jet skiing. I was like, oh, it's only 5 miles away, and I ran there. And yeah, you know, that was back before, like, I think I wasn't really doing much like heavy training, so people were like, oh my gosh, that's really far. Like, different mindset for different people. I think that's a good point, because you don't want to like, well, my own opinion is like, I don't want to like out put my schedule on anybody else and be like, well, I can't do that because I have to go out for this bike ride or whatever, and try to get it done early and just kind of get it out of the way is good. And then there's plenty of days where I'm just like, nope, not going to do anything. And then the next day I'm more motivated to get up and run. And we go to the beach, so it's really easy just to get up and run and bike. And yeah,
where everybody else is moving. Mm-hmm. And this is an idea that Laurel gave me for an athlete that wants to stay fit throughout the vacation and doesn't want to take that time off. The idea was to, instead of stick to a training program every day, have a goal for like a runner. So say like, okay, while you're away, you're going to run 20 miles total for this week. Instead of saying like, okay, Monday you have a 3 mile run, Tuesday you have intervals or whatever a typical training schedule, like instead it's like, do this as a whole. So if you have time on one day to do 5 miles, you do that. And the next day, maybe you only have time for one, but just think of it as like what you're going to accomplish at the end of the vacation.
That's a great idea.
As far as coaching, because as a coach, you have to, you know, you're telling someone what to do every day and they don't, a lot of people I coach are like, no, this vacation is the time that I actually have time in my day to train. You know, I'm not working, I'm not commuting. I don't have to take care of the kids on these days. So a lot of people that I coach actually want to use their holiday as a traincation. And they like to do stuff. So that was one of the things. And it's like, well, I don't know what day you're going to be, you know, having a big night the night before, or, have like margaritas and then not want to do the run. So like that concept of 20 miles per week, or if you have a bike with you, like, I don't know anyone who's taken their Peloton on vacation. Yeah. I think that's a little extreme. I can't imagine hauling that around. It's so heavy. But if you have, you know, try to get in 5 bike rides and 20 miles running, and that's a great weekend, you know, great week of training.
I need to try that. What should my goal be?
It's a fun goal. It's kind of like a fun goal.
I had somebody go to Alaska, and I knew that her runs were going to be kind of short because she was in an RV and driving around and like not having a lot of time and doing like little mini runs by herself. And I didn't want her to like go off into the woods with bears. So she did the 20. And then what I think she was, another person was going to do like 80 miles of biking for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Just like kind of set, look at where you are. And then if you typically run 20 miles a week, why not use this vacation to like try something new? Maybe do 25, stretch it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Back to the Peloton, traveling with the Peloton. People have posted in the Power Zone pack that they have done it. They've showed it in their cars. They've showed it.
So funny. I remember when we were moving Matt's Peloton, and it was like, we had to have a couple people.
It was hard to get in and out.
Maybe we're just not strong enough to.
Well, I think people may, if you have a sprinter van, like with a dog ramp, you roll it in.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe. But,
I remember seeing in someone's RV, or people will like purposely find hotels with Pelotons, which is more and more common.
A lot of people, a hotel with a good gym. It doesn't necessarily have to have a Peloton, but if it has a good gym, you can do a lot.
I worry about, say
when you move the Peloton, like the calibration can get off. I thought about taking it somewhere. I remember asking, has anyone ever traveled? This was like, I don't remember when we were going to be gone. I was like, has anyone ever taken it with them? And because I get nervous, like the running is okay. I love to find new pools to swim in. I love that. But like biking, where I'm not exactly sure, unless I can drag Matthias with me, which sometimes doesn't work, sometimes it does. I'm nervous to ride outside. And I thought about taking my Peloton, but then people like calibration can get screwed up. And like, oh, that just seems like a hassle, you know?
Yeah. It's like you're kind of opening up yourself to break it. But another thing about like not knowing where to ride is you can look on Strava and start kind of scoping out popular routes and use that as a guide of where you should ride, so that you don't go off onto some road that's really dangerous or scary or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, try that as an idea of where to go if you're in a new place.
Yeah, I like that. And you can try, if you're really competitive, you could try to get this Strava segment.
I know. That's what I'll try to find segments. Exactly. Vacation Strava.
And the other thing for swimming, I've always tried to look to see if there's any group open water swims or like swim teams, because I don't necessarily like to go into an open water area that I don't know very well. It's kind of dangerous to do that. So I try to, in the past, I've tried to pair up with, like, if there's a group swim, like on a Saturday morning at a beach, then try to hook up, and then you can meet people, and then you just start talking to people about where they ride and where they run, and then you get a good sense of what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the Masters website you can also find, and then swimmersguide.com. I always look to find pools, and it gives you like the details on, you know, how much it is to get in, if they allow public people to get in.
I love that. That's what we, Laurel and I did a race in Canada, and we wanted to swim on the drive up there. So we just like, I wish I had known about that website. It said I was just going into Google and putting like public pool in, and we found this amazing pool in the middle in Elmira, New York, which is where Molly Huddle's from. She said her parents live right down the street from the pool, and it was like the best swim. It was the best summer swim. Just empty little teeny pool, middle of
nowhere. I love experiences like that. Like, I love finding like random pools. I wish I would have started like when I, you know, started really traveling and stuff, and like make a blog. Like, I went to this pool and this is what happened, you know, like they let me in for this month, you know.
Yeah.
I've tried to talk my way into a lot of pools too for free.
You're not a triathlete unless you snuck into like a lot of pools.
Oh yeah. Like, I'm thinking about moving here, or I'm moving here. Yeah. I'm thinking about joining. What do you think if you just let me in for free?
I think that one of my coworkers, former long time ago, did a blog, and she would travel around and she wrote about pools and different pools that she went to. So I think we're all in agreement that if you feel like training and working out is going to make you happy, is going to make you relax, which I think it usually helps all of us. It has good, effects on the rest of the day, where you can go and have fun with your family, then go by all means. Work out, do something that's going to be fun and get you in the right headspace to enjoy. Just do what works for you. And if that means you don't want to work out, then use it as a real vacation.
Yeah.
I think the same can be said for working on vacation too, right?
Yeah, I think it's anything goes, you know, whatever makes you feel in vacay mode, right?
Yeah, if you don't want to check your emails and you don't want to get, go on Strava, then don't do it. If you do, then do it. But, you know, sometimes it's really, there are many benefits of just checking out entirely. Well, thanks guys. If you have any other insight, feel free to add.
I just want to go on vacation now.
Yeah, I know, right?
We're almost there. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks guys again.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah, we'll bring you back on soon. Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, so for our powerhouse segment today, we're bringing on a very inspirational Peloton community member. A while back when I was looking at the Power Zone Pack Facebook group, just to find people that we might want to talk to in our podcast, I came across a post from Deanna Desi, and it just really stood out to me because she kind of articulated some of the challenges, physical challenges that she's had in her life, and how she kind of used Power Zone Pack and Power Zone and Peloton in general to kind of help her power through some of those physical challenges and just lift her up. And so we reached out to Deanna, and gratefully she was able and willing to chat with us on the Empower Hour. So I won't go into too much detail about Deanne's challenges, but she does have some vision issues in that she is missing her right eye. I hope that I'm that correct. And she's also now has debilitations in her left eye, but she's still able to rock the Peloton, ride the Peloton, and do these great Power Zone challenges. So Deanne, how about you just introduce yourself, tell us where you are, a little bit about your background, and go into your story from there.
Sure. Thanks, Katie and Sarah. I'm 52. and I got my bike 3 years ago. And I remember thinking it was going to be like, we all kind of fear just, you know, an expensive place to hold your clothes. And I put up that post when I hit my 1,000th ride, which coincided with the date of the delivery of my bike. I, you know, of course, planned that. And, but I mean, 1,000 rides is a lot. We know every time we clip in, you know, it's a good thing. I always kind of had vision issues. I always had issues with my right eye, which wasn't fully developed when I was born. And then when I was about 12, I developed severe acute glaucoma. When it was diagnosed, my optic nerve was already dead. So, you know, it was a pretty painful disease. And I lived with it until I was 26. And at that point, I decided it didn't make sense anymore. So I had it enucleated or removed, and have just kind of gone on. I've really kind of been like, I've had monocular vision my whole life because it's never, my right eye never really had vision. But in the past 6 or so years, I've developed a form of macular degeneration in my left eye. So I'm losing my vision, but won't lose it entirely. I had to give up driving 6 years ago, and that was huge. To this day, that's kind of the biggest, you know, something I can't stand, and it's kind of difficult to work around, but you know, you do. And the bike has been unbelievably helpful for making me feel a part of something. I can't outdoor ride. I can, but it's probably not the safest thing. I used to run, and my knees had kind of got shot. So the bike has been sort of a lifesaver for me.
So can you just tell us, like, what is your vision? Like, what can you see, or can you describe, like, maybe if you're looking at the Peloton screen, what can you see?
Yeah, well, I'm what's considered legally blind. And I think that term mostly applies to driving. I think that's kind of why they use that term. It means you can't drive. I can see the screen, and I can see the metrics, you know, the power zone metrics. I cannot see who I'm riding with. So the leaderboard is sort of pointless to me. I mean, I can't see what the numbers are or anything. What I'll do sometimes is I'll screenshot and blow it up and kind of see where I am and other people. I am doing, you know, this next challenge is starting in a few weeks, and I ride with people on the West Coast. And so we tend to do our rides together. So we high five each other, and that's fun. I can't really see which one of them it is, but I can see the little tiny hand and can, you know, high five them. So I can see the leader. I mean, I can see the screen, but not to the degree that it's so useful, except that at this point I can see, you know, my cadence resistance, my output. So the important things.
And you can see the little hand. So that's, you know, that's cool. You're getting high fives. You can see the high fives and the metrics. And like we've talked about in the past, the leaderboard, it's not hugely important to know exactly where you're at anyways. A lot of people, like hide the leaderboard. You don't need that anyways. So.
Particularly with power zone riding. It's really not. It's like the thing that Christine says about turning it on its side. And that really is, I think, how we all should look at it, since mm-hmm. we're all in different places.
Right.
And so when did you start riding? You said 3 years ago. When did you start doing the power zone challenges?
Last year, I was in the Fit Fab 40s group, and they do this monthly buddy thing where you can like be partnered up with somebody who lives near you. And I always knew that, I mean, I saw people becoming great friends, and I wasn't really sure how to make that happen, but I knew it would be better for accountability and just in general to ride with people, you know, to be on the same ride. And to me, like, the whole juxtaposition about Peloton is that it's so based in community, and yet we're riding alone. It's a solitary endeavor, you know. So the woman that I was kind of matched up with, she's on the East Coast of Florida, so we're in the same time zone and everything. Anyway, she was a power zone rider, so she was in the middle of a challenge, and I began just piggybacking onto her rides, and then you know, joined the next challenge on my own. And that was how I started, you know, getting to know people, so to speak.
So can you just, this might be hard to articulate, but can you tell us like how Peloton or maybe the Power Zone Pack has like changed your life from Deanna before Peloton to Deanna now?
It's a complete transformation. I mean, not to sound dramatic, but I think you guys probably can relate as fellow Power Zone writers. We know a lot of the Facebook groups can be kind of snarky and not always positive. I have found that the Power Zone pack is the singular most positive group that I'm in. Everybody's just very supportive, period. And there's no judging, there's no name calling. It's all about building everybody else up. I guess I never felt a part of anything before. You know, I ran in high school, I was part of a team, and I think we always work better as a team, or at least I do. So even when I was riding, before I found Power Zone Pack, it was kind of by myself. And it would be like, if I felt it, I would ride. But even though I wanted to every day, even though I absolutely love this bike, you know, it's still getting yourself onto it, making time for it. So with what we're involved with now, there's other people. There's the people I ride with just finished a ride. You know, I know they were all doing it, and I would like to have been doing it with them. And, you know, when we do our group rides during a challenge, like our Saturday rides, it's just so fun. It's just so fun that you know that we're all doing it together. So I don't know if I really answered that, but I mean, that's how it's transformed me. It's given me, you know, as my vision has kind of worsened, my life has become a little bit more solitary. You know, I get out less and I do less. And this is so instrumental in making me feel a part of something bigger than me and a part of something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in the Power Zone pack, you know, like you said, they really regulate it well. It's positive. They keep, you know, any kind of snarkiness out of there. There's, you know, people are just kind of boosting each other up, and that's great to hear.
Totally. And I don't know if it's, you know, the admins like getting that stuff out before we ever see it. It just sort of seems like the nature of it is not to be, you know, is to, and again, that's to me the nature of Power Zone writing, that it's totally you working on you.
And I think people are there for the same purpose. I think that that's mm-hmm. kind of why some of the comments aren't as like some of the other groups, because everyone's kind of there for that same purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. It's very empowering. Have you, Dana, met or maybe come across anybody else in the Power Zone pack that have are also visually challenged?
Yeah. A couple people have messaged me actually after I posted that post. A woman had reached out to me, and she has I think it's RSV. So what she has is she has like 3% vision. I think 2% in one eye, 3% in the other. She's far worse off than I am and has an incredible attitude. She has a service dog. She gets around. She just, you know, it was kind of cool to talk to her about how we deal with different things, mostly me learning from her. You know, mm-hmm. that you know, you just learn accessibility tricks. And she told me how she can use her screen and, you know, how she sees. So yeah, she in particular. And I mean, and also on that, when I wrote that post, I was sort of self-conscious to do so, because I don't think I'm very inspiring at all. I think people deal with so much more than I do every day. And that's kind of also though why I wanted to write it, because you never know when your story is gonna hit somebody else, touch somebody else. And maybe the biggest way that Peloton has affected me is not so much my physical fitness, but mentally and emotionally. I just cannot believe what people deal with. As I wrote it truly does floor me on a daily basis. And not only what people deal with, but how they deal with it, which is with such grace and resilience. So it's like every day there's no place for a pity party, you know, because somebody else is worse off than you are. And, you know, together we go far. We, you know, we build each other up, we move each other on, we, you know, hands on each other's back. That.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some accessibility tricks. Is there anything, has Peloton acknowledged, or do you think in the future, will there be special accessibility, like, elements of the Peloton? Have you heard about anything like that? If somebody is, you know, completely blind and still
wants to... I haven't, and I've heard, I know there are blind riders. I haven't heard about that. I mean, a big thing to me, and I think a lot of people just don't see well and maybe have to ride with their glasses, which isn't ideal. If there was some way to magnify the screen, that would be a huge thing. But there's nothing. No, I haven't heard of anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, for your computer or your iPad at home, do you have anything that magnifies it?
Yeah, there are a couple of apps that can make things bigger. Really, I use a magnifier. And so that's kind of how I do it. I also enlarge my fonts, so it's pretty huge. But wherever I can make things bigger. I have like my PC is a touch screen that I can enlarge when I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I always think about like how, you know, there's obviously people with physical challenges who want to participate in Peloton. You know, the Paralympics are coming up, and that really shows mm-hmm. the athleticism among physically challenged athletes. And it's interesting to see in the future if there will be different adaptations that Peloton offers for anybody with disabilities.
I can't imagine they wouldn't, you know, that's.
Yeah. And also fortunately, you know, you have great hear. It's all about audio. I feel like with hearing, right. So like being able to to just absorb what the instructors are saying.
Right. Right. So that to me is a blessing that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I can't see it all, but I can certainly hear it all. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, if you don't like music, this probably isn't the sport for you.
So you said you ran growing up. So that's kind of like your athletic background is running when you were in high school. And then now you just do the bike classes. Do you do any of the other classes as well? Like, do you do the strength classes or anything, or just mostly the bike classes?
Yeah, I do. We got the tread. That was an easy sell for my husband. I said basically as soon as, you know, with COVID, I would have got, if it weren't for COVID, we would have gotten it a long time ago. But as soon as I brought it up, I'm like, there's not going to be an argument. We're getting this. And he said, okay. So as soon as we were able to get delivery, we got ours in September, and we both use it regularly. So I've done some boot camps. It's hard because even though my background was more running, I love spinning. I just love it. So the tread isn't getting so much use for me, but yeah, I do strength classes regularly. Sleep meditation is huge, and Zen and Tens, some yoga. So yeah, I definitely try to use, sometimes I would do like an outdoor walk or run. So there's a lot of content there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your favorite instructor?
I think Christine or Matt.
Yeah. That's common. Yeah. They're popular answers.
especially if you're doing the power zone, right? That's, yeah.
They weren't before. And actually, Matt, my friend who got me into Power Zone training, she was talking about him. And I said, yeah, he's super boring. I mean, he seems like a nice guy. And she goes, yeah, just give him a chance. And now it's like, ooh, Matt, dreamy.
Let him sink into your psyche, right? He gets in
there.
Oh
my gosh. He really does. How about you guys? Who are your favorites?
I like Matt. Yeah, he's always my number one.
Yeah, he's hands down my favorite.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think he is like the coach I always wanted. And I grew up running too, and never had really great coaches as a kid or, you know, even in college. And I was like, oh, if only I had Matt Welpers, man, my life
would be so different.
But we found him later in life, and that's great. So yeah,
he's okay.
He's awesome. Well, maybe you can say, you know, for somebody who's listening, Katie and I are always telling people to join the Power Zone Challenges and the Power Zone Pack, but if someone maybe has some hesitancy, what would you say to them to kind of convince them to maybe try the challenge this summer or, you know, in the fall or in the future?
Well, I would say you have nothing to lose. And maybe start with discovering your power zones with that program. And that might help somebody not be so scared about it. I think it's sort of hard to understand the individual nature of power zone training. It's kind of, you know, we can all produce a graph that looks the same and yet our numbers are vastly different. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I would say is join a team. And if you don't like it, you're out. There's really no commitment. I mean, ideally you complete it, but you don't have to. And it truly is you against you. It's not, you're not, your competition is only yourself, not anybody else. So nothing to be frightened of, nothing. And this is an amazing community. That's great to be part of. My neighbor had gotten a bike because of me, and now a tread because of me. And she was an outdoor runner, and she's in her 60s, and it's getting kind of harder for her. And she's now going to be starting her third challenge and is loving it. And she was hesitant and she said, I can't imagine doing a 75-minute ride or a 90-minute ride. But what if she can? And she did. And actually, I mean, kind of on the heels of that, I just, a group of us just finished Christine's Haleakala climb a few weeks ago.
Wow.
So yeah, you just don't know. I mean, I remember first hearing about it and thinking, oh, 5 hours? Yeah, no thanks. No way. Can't happen. And it did. And it can happen. You know, so it just.
Just for anybody who doesn't know what that is, can you describe what the climb
is? Yeah, I can't remember what year it was, like maybe 2018. Christine D'Ercole was in Hawaii. And I guess in her story, she's laying on a beach and she sees this volcano in the distance and thought, what if I climbed it? So the volcano was Haleakala. It's like 10,000, maybe 39 feet up. And she completed the climb in 5 hours. It was just so, you know, it's so windy. It's brutal and it's unrelenting. And so she kind of documented each leg of the climb. And then from that, she developed 5 climb rides, each simulating that part of her climb. So when you complete the climb, you get a badge and you get the pride and knowledge that you did it.
And you do it all in a row.
You do them consecutively. And the way that we had broken it up, we had decided to do, you do a 60-minute climb, then you do a 5-minute break. And we trained for like 20 weeks. Moving up to it. So you didn't all of a sudden ride 5 hours. You started off riding, you know, doing 2 60-minute classes, or we would stack the group challenge ride from Saturdays with a couple of other ones anyway. And then it built up to like 4 hours in a row. And then we kind of knew, once you know that, you know, it's kind of like if you haven't run a marathon, you know, you don't actually run 26.2 miles, but you get to a point when you know that you can. So during then we would take a 15-minute break in between each class, in which we would change our soaking wet clothes, maybe stretch, eat something, you know, and then get back on. So the actual climb took a little bit under 6 hours with those breaks.
Wow. That's Katie, great. That's on my bucket list. That's definitely on my.
You haven't done it yet. Katie's done all the big extreme things, but that's on your list.
It's on my list. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, Katie, I think we'll do it again. I'll okay. Totally do it
yeah,
again.
Please let me know. I will join you.
But
I will. Yeah.
Your resistance is up the whole time, right?
Yeah, they're tough rides, right? Did you follow, like, you follow her cues of resistance? And
what she says is, if you're taking it as a singular ride, you can push yourself. If you're taking it as part of a 5-hour climb, you know, you kind of want to stay in zone 2, maybe a little bit of zone 3.
Okay.
I know that I mean, when I ended up doing it, I my first ride was actually the lowest output. And then I knew I felt good. And in my case, when I did the fifth hour of the climb, I produced the highest output of all the rides. I pushed the whole time. I was into zone 4 and 5. And it was just basically because I knew I was going to survive it. So I might as well push as hard as I can. But yeah, no, if you're doing them consecutively, you'd ride lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally inspired to do this now. You know, I've like seen it. I haven't done it yet. Cause some of those, like just the 10-minute, 20-minute climb rides, those are really tough. The resistance and like putting on that resistance, but now I'm like, I'm curious now. So.
Yeah. Climb really, that's my favorite kind of ride. And it's really not as intimidating as what it sounds.
Yeah.
It's not like a 10-minute climb. Those are brutal.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That gives me a little bit more confidence to do something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk after. Let's.
Yeah.
Is Christine's narrative in the classes telling you about this climb, or is she just talking about other things too?
No, she's talking about her other stuff and she's throwing in her inspirational talk, but yeah, very much. She's talking about that leg of the climb and what the terrain looks like. And she talked about how people would say to her, what was it like hitting the top? Was the view amazing? And she said, if I was riding this to see the view from the top, I would have driven. She goes, you hardly see anybody going up. You see people coming down, and she goes, and they're in helmets, and she goes, they look at you like you're nuts. And she said that, you know, as you get closer to the top, it becomes, there's hardly anything growing, you know, it gets cold. So yeah, she is talking about it, and the rides aren't exactly the same, because I guess they kind of, you know, it differed for her as she went up.
There's probably steeper parts and
She says basically it's just a ton of hairpin turns. That's what she, so each song, at the end of each song, she said, think of it as a hairpin turn. And that at that point, if you have to get out of the saddle, I mean, that was a big part of surviving those 5 hours was surviving, you know, guys know what I'm saying, like being in the saddle that long. Ow.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, but you kind of figure it, you figure it all out.
You know how Matt has gone to Hawaii and done these outdoor rides and runs. She should do that. That would be really cool.
I guess people have addressed that with her, and she said that that's something that she's going to look into in the future and actually do it with her.
Right. That would be pretty cool to see. I haven't done any of Matt's scenic rides yet, but it's like, I've heard they're great. Well, just to bring it back to you, Deanna, and your challenges and your day-to-day, I mean, you have such a great perspective, and you said that like reading other people's posts has made you feel like you're lucky and, you know, but you do face something that a lot of us don't. And I think that's really admirable, but like, how do you face the day-to-day and just knowing that maybe your vision is going to get worse in your left eye? How do you keep kind of a positive perspective?
Well, just going back to what you were saying, it's, well, for one thing, I try not to think about it too much. I kind of try to do what I can, see what I can see. I mean, I don't know. I when I talked to my eye doctor about this, he said there's no, I mean, it could drastically deteriorate in a year or it could be decades from now. There's no telling. So, I mean, but the fact is, when it comes down to it, we know that tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. We never know what's going to happen. We never know what lies around the next corner. So you just plug away and go on. And I mean, I used to be kind of embarrassed to use my little magnifier. Now I just whip it out because it's like, it is what it is. And you know what? Somebody else could be dealing with something and they see that and it makes them feel better. Or I've been asked about it. Actually, people have, I've sent the Amazon link to many people because they're like, what do you use? And you know, a lot of people don't see well, to varying degrees. And it's, you know, it's just helpful. And I mean, you look at like Robin Arzon, who found out she was a type 1 diabetic in the middle of life. How does she go on? She just does. You know, so I mean, I'm sure it impacts her. I'm sure she has to do some things differently, but she modifies and she's every bit the badass that she ever was. So I think that's kind of it, that there's always somebody who has something worse or something different. I think the big thing to me is my whole life, I have felt blessed to have my vision condition because I feel like it's made me hyper aware of what it's like to have a disability, to be looked at differently, you know, to be, I mean, like in younger, like in middle school when everything kind of sucks, to be, you know, to be made fun of or whatever. And then to get through it. And I really feel for people who have disabilities or conditions that aren't visible. So nobody sees you and says, oh, that's so amazing what you do. And they still are dealing with it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of it. I mean, you just don't, I mean, to me, you don't have, you either live feeling sorry for yourself or you live knowing that you have bountiful blessings and you focus on that. Mm-hmm. So that's how.
Yeah. A good reminder for us all, I think. Yeah. All right. Well, Katie, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. You're so inspiring. It's great to talk with you and get to meet you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Thank you for sharing that post way back when, and you know, it impacted us. And like you said, it probably impacted people, those who reached out to you or just those who read it. I think it was brave of you to share that. And I'm glad that it connected us.
Ah, well, thank you. Me too.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Well, that is it for episode 15. We hope you took away some tips to make your vacation or traincation a success. Thanks, Beck and Laurel, for your always motivational input. And a huge thank you to Deanna for sharing with us her truly inspirational story. As always, we want to hear from you. You can DM us on social media. You can find Sarah at Sarah Wasner Flynn and Katie at Katie Pellavicino. We'll see you later.